Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
This is the PT Pinecast. And we're on the road, live from Miami. We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. We talk PT, drink beers, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast, recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. Our next guest is a 2007 graduate of Northwestern University. She spent her entire career practicing in geriatrics. She became a board-certified specialist in geriatrics in 2010 and earned a PhD in public health sciences in 2015 with a concentration in gerontology. She currently teaches at Northwestern University, where her major area of teaching is, you guessed it, old people. Her research focuses on exercise interventions for frail older adults and their caregivers, and we'll put up the post of where you can find her research findings on the Chaser for this episode. We're also talking with an assistant professor at Northwestern University PT and Human Movement Sciences Department, also co-director of the Northwestern University Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago's Orthopedic PT Residency Program. He graduated with a DPT from the University of Illinois Chicago in 07 and completed an orthopedic residency at the University of Southern California in 09. Along with an orthopedic manual physical therapy fellowship at UIC in 2011. He's also gotten into some Olympic work at Colorado Springs, in Ghana, and in Kenya. Ladies and gentlemen, up next on the PT Pinecast, Craig Hensley and Margaret Danilovich. Craig and Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
All right, the first question is always the hardest question of them all. What are you drinking?
A Riesling.
Riesling. She's going off the reservation. I like it, though. I don't discriminate against any alcohol. I never discriminate. Craig, what are you drinking?
IPA.
IPA.
Some form of IPA.
We're both doing dogfish head IPAs.
Oh, that sounds good.
Rachel German is our beer supplier this evening. She's making sure we're well lubricated socially. So I want to thank you guys. You literally just came from the airport, landing here at National Student Conclave to come out to the PT Pub Night and talk with us. So thank you for coming directly from the airport to talk with us.
Of course. We are that dedicated.
Very good. What draws you to an event like this? Why do you come to something like this? You guys aren't students. Why do you come?
Well, I think I absolutely love our profession. I love being a physical therapist, and it's infectious being around 1,500 students who are so psyched to be physical therapists. So it's a phenomenal experience. I love to share my passion with them. I get inspired by hearing about why they're into being a physical therapist or a physical therapy assistant. So it's just a natural place to be.
I've been to all three conferences. I've been to Next, I've been to CSM, I've been to Conclave. We've said it before, we'll say it again. It's got a different vibe. It feels different, don't you think so, Craig?
When I was in PT school back in the day, the first year I went, I was just kind of like feeling it out. After the first year that I went though, I was like, I definitely have to go again because it was learn from experts, think about things differently. Yeah, it was a great experience for me.
I love this. This question is the best question to ask at any conclave or any meeting like CSM or Next. Hey, where are you from? And then just be quiet and let the person talk. They're gonna tell you where they're from, and they're gonna tell you what they do, or where they practice, or where they went to school, but that's it. I've had some classmates who are shy. I can't talk like you. You can talk to anybody in a bar. What's your secret? Where are you from? That's it. Then shut up. Then let the other person talk. Don't just sit there and wait for your turn to talk. So, Margaret, geriatrics seems to be a theme that's running through there. How'd you get motivated to work with, as I like to call them, old people?
So looking back, I think I didn't realize this at the time.
Right.
In grade school and high school, my school always had really good ties with older adults. In grade school, we'd go and play with like a quilting group and just interact.
Okay.
And on Sunday mornings in church, I'd go and sit in a pew with like some older ladies, and they'd give me candy and all of that. So
you're in it for the candy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So from an early age, I had that experience. When I was in college, I worked as a personal trainer in a retirement community.
You're always around old people.
So it actually is a great kind of program. After people were done with their physical therapy interval and they were discharged, they could hire me as their trainer to continue on doing their home exercise program. So I got to do their exercise program with them as a trainer, really got to enjoy and develop my love of working with this population. Went to PT school, selected clinicals where I could work with the population.
And you were hooked. You were hooked. Do you know a woman by the name of Carol Lewis?
I sure do.
Carol Lewis was on the show not long ago, and she brought up a term I had never heard, which was the silver tsunami. Are you familiar with this?
Yes.
So why should students consider working in geriatrics?
Unless you're working in pediatrics or sports, you're pretty much going to be working with older adults.
That's very true.
So knowing this population and knowing how to provide optimal care, that's going to be the thing that elevates your practice.
I always like to look for the similarities and the differences. How are they similar or how are they different than the pediatrics or the sports or anything else?
I think it's very similar when we look at pediatric patients, the two ends of the lifespan, sort of an acceleration versus the decline, but very similar areas. But a lot of the research shows like personality, interests, those carry on across your lifespan. So working with an 80-year-old is just like working with a 40-year-old in the sense that they care about the same thing. They're motivated by the same thing. They're into the same activities.
Just a different speed, maybe?
Perhaps a different speed or a different intensity, but at the end of the day, people are people. They have the same basic needs, and that's what we're providing when we're providing care.
Yeah, muscles, bones, heart, lungs, brain.
Exactly.
Everybody's got
that. It's the same body. It's just a little different at 80 versus 40.
And you're still pumped to do geriatrics now.
I love it.
And you've been doing it before PT school started, and you still like it?
I absolutely love it. It brings me no greater joy than working with older adults and helping them improve their life.
Sometimes my job as a podcast host is to paint a picture. Every time Margaret mentions geriatrics, she starts using her hands and she starts bopping up and down with a gigantic smile on her face. They can't see that, so I had to say it.
Yeah.
But you're genuinely excited to work with this population.
I
can tell
so
right now. Look, she's
bopping.
She's doing it again. That's fantastic. How do you spot a student who's going to be good in geriatrics? What do you look for?
I think any student can be good at geriatrics. Any student can be good at anything if they have that passion for working with that population. And it's a matter of exposure. I think people come in with preconceived notions
right.
Like, oh, working with older adults is going to be boring and they're near death and you can't do anything. And when we can expose them to that population, they light up and they see really what a rewarding population this is to work with.
Yeah. What's some of the research you got into in geriatrics? We mentioned that in your introduction.
Our group in particular has two lines. One is looking at physical activity interventions for older adults. So we're specifically looking at a resistance exercise approach that's periodization training. So much like you would train an athlete.
You're using the word periodization. That's usually for athletes.
Is what we're training our older adults. And we're also doing a high intensity aerobic training. So people are exercising. Our older adults in the study are walking at 70 to 80% of their heart rate max. I had an 80-year-old who walked up 16 flights of stairs.
Ow.
We are putting weights on people. We are working them intensely, and their outcomes are dramatic.
You can't do that. They're old.
Exactly. It's awesome.
But that's the notion that we had, 10, 15 years. You can't do that. You know, give them a yellow TheraBand.
Exactly. And we completely underdose what we're doing with this population.
Which can have a gigantic negative effect.
Is terrible, and it doesn't reflect well on our profession because people say, oh, physical therapy doesn't work for this population. Well, it doesn't if we underdose. And so if we dose appropriately, and we know from my studies we can do this, and we can do it safely, people really have robust changes in their physical function as a result.
They have muscles, as we said before. They have lungs and a brain and a heart, and you need to make them lift heavy things. I've been in certain situations at certain clinics where the heaviest thing in the clinic was a 10-pound weight, and you have a female come in with a 15-pound pocketbook or a purse, and you're thinking, we're doing her a disservice by
right.
not making her lift a heavy thing.
Right. I see too much of this, like, 1-pound, 2-pound
no.
weights.
No.
Train your older adult patients like you would train an athlete. Figure out what their max is and calculate appropriately, and you will see really substantial gains.
We've said it before on the show, if you move, then you're an athlete in some way, shape, or form. So if we don't treat them like that, of course they're not going to get better. And of course, even worse, underdosing, they're going to decline and get worse.
Exactly.
And that's shame on us. Pursuit a PhD. Why would you do that? That seems like a lot of homework. That's extra homework. Margaret, what are you doing?
So pursuing a PhD is definitely a must if you want to work in an academic setting.
Right.
You have to have that really to do it. But if you want to work in healthcare administration, having a PhD is also sort of a huge benefit to your career. But really, the PhD affords you a number of things. It allows you to really refine your research skills.
I bet.
It allows you to contribute to the PT literature. It allows you to really develop a better sense of how to present your research, how to present the work that physical therapists are doing. And so that allows you to really enhance what we're doing in the dissemination. And it gives you the time to really get into the literature and explore what is the research out there. Because there's so much research that's going on, and this is the way to get into it really in depth.
Well, you say allows you, but it really makes you.
It forces you.
You have to do that.
It does, because you need it for your coursework.
Yeah. How do you leverage that PhD now with your patients? Has the exposure to all that research and all that knowledge really, really, are you able to put it into practice?
So I think it definitely informs the interventions that I'm doing. I do a much better job now at dosing my interventions than I did as a new graduate. I do a much better job of integrating what's the best evidence for practice than I did as a new grad without a PhD.
Like that. I'm going to throw out a topic for you right here. I want just whatever you think of first. Work-life balance. What comes to mind?
When I think of work-life balance, I think sometimes we think too much, this is my work, this is my life, and that's not the case. You are always a PT, and you should always be wearing your PT sort of on your chest, and that always informs what you're doing. You're always a physical therapist at heart.
We were told by my professor, Julie Reese, after we took her Foundations of Physical Therapy course, and we studied gait. She said, you're never going to be able to be in a public place ever again and just watch people walk. Because all you're going to be doing is looking at how they walk. Ooh, look at that guy. Look at what he's got over here. That's all you see.
Exactly. It informs how you watch people, how you observe, but also I think maybe more importantly, your patient interactions affect how you are. Working with older adults, I know that I'm a better daughter to my parents having seen how my patients and their families interact.
Thank you very much. Something that comes up quite a bit with students, because it's very scary, the word burnout, because we put so much time, money, effort, heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears, lots of tears, into becoming a physical therapist. How do we avoid that B word, burnout?
So I think if you reframe how you look at your career and you don't look at it as a job, this is your calling to be a physical therapist, that's one way, because that inspires you to continually look at you are serving society by the work you do. You are giving back and serving a greater good. Then it's not so much of like I'm clocking in and clocking out. And really thinking about being inspired by the work you do and the difference that you make.
Well, I was going to say clocking in, clocking out is one thing, but you mentioned the word geriatrics, and you start jumping up and down. That's an easy way to, loving what you do is an easy way to not get burned
out. Exactly. If you find what you're passionate about, it's never working.
So what if you don't have that right away?
I think everyone does have that. It's a matter of soul searching to really find what it is that you love in your classes. And it takes a lot of sort of introspective thought on like, what is the subject that you really lit up about?
Right.
And
bounced around and jumped up and down.
Yes, exactly.
About.
What gets you so psyched that you can't stop talking about it? And find that topic and pursue it with all your heart.
I like that very much. We're going to take a quick 60-second break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Craig, but you're not going anywhere. I want you to stay here and bounce around. On the other side of the break with the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. The PT Pintcast, poured by Arias Medical Group. This is the PT Pintcast. Recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, we're back in the PT Pintcast. Want to thank our sponsor, Aureus Medical, including the American Physical Therapy Association for letting us come to National Student Conclave. Want to thank those guys for letting us out here. So bringing Craig in, we let the female go first, ladies first. And saw in your bio, a little work with the U.S. Olympic team, and you're wearing the U.S. Olympic rings on the chest right there. How'd you get involved with that? That's the top of sports PT right there.
Sure. So the sports section sent out an email blast to all its members asking for physical therapists that are volunteers. I'm like, oh, this can't be real. No way.
Dude, that's it. It's the top.
So then I started inquiring with some of my colleagues. They're like, yeah, that's a real deal. You should try for that.
So when was this? Which?
This was this year, May 2016.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right before they went to Rio. About 2 months before.
So what were you doing? What sports were you involved with? What were you doing?
Mostly men's gymnastics, men's and women's wrestling, some men's boxing, but really a whole slew. Like, I saw some figure skaters, bobsled.
Because they're training
years. Some boxers. So it was all over the place. So it was great.
We had a guy by the name of Eric Mira on the show, one of our first episodes, and he says exactly what you had just mentioned. Look, get involved, join a section that you're passionate about, and then when the opportunity presents itself, raise your hand, show
Jump
up.
On it.
That's it, show up. What was the highlight of the experience working with those kinds of athletes? What did you take away from that?
When you think about these athletes training and working and competing, think that these are at the very top of their condition and health. I'm going to tell you that all of them are competing injured.
I bet.
They're all injured, and they've had some serious traumatic injuries throughout their career.
They've been competing their whole lives. Of course they're going to have some nagging injuries or things are going to pop up and go away.
And they push through. They get up. They do it every day, and they just keep doing it. It's very inspiring.
One of our first episodes, our very first episode, episode number one, was on residencies and fellowships.
I
recorded that in my third year because those words are thrown around a lot. Because as we get closer and closer to graduation, we start to get that oh shit moment. Number one, I'm going to have to start paying that loan back. And number two, am I as prepared enough as I want to be, or do I want to learn more? You did both. How'd you come to that conclusion? What drew you to residency and a fellowship?
After coming to Student Conclave in my second and third year, I started thinking more and more about residency and postgraduate training. And so I started talking to some of my CIs at the time, and they're like, well, I think if you just surround yourself by people who are really good and find strong mentorship, you'll be fine. So I decided after DPT school that I was going to just go right into working like everybody else. And it just wasn't enough for me. I felt like after a couple months, I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing. I felt like I could do so much better. I could do so much more with my life, with my career, and for my patients. After thinking about it, I said, I'm doing it. I'm just gonna do it, and got in, and now here I am.
What are some things that you took away from the residency and fellowship that really solidified, this was a good decision? What made you feel like, I made the right choice?
Having somebody stand over your shoulder and question everything that you're doing.
It's rough, man.
It was rough, but it was good. I loved it. Bring it on.
I mean, that's like what an Olympic, I mean, we're making a correlation, bringing a full circle of what you just talked about.
Yeah.
It's like an Olympic athlete, having someone watch your every move and critique your every decision and movement.
Right. It's intense. It's intense training, so to speak.
How do you find the right place to work post-graduation then? You went out and you worked and you said, you know what, I'm going to go and get some more. And you went and did your post-grad work. After that, how do you pick? How do you figure out where to go?
If I were in PT school right now, and so my first choice would definitely be a residency. If I elected not to do that for a various number of reasons, I would interview at multiple places. get a feel for what is my best fit, talk to some of the physical therapists that are there, get a sense for how things are, and then just weigh your decision. You know, what's most important to you? Strong mentoring most important to you? It's going to be hard to find nowadays in our healthcare world. So there's a lot of factors that you have to look into.
You worked for a little while after school, decided you want to do the residency. Clinical education sites vary. You know, where you're set up through your school to do your clinical hours and your clinical education, those can vary.
Yes.
I've had some horror stories from some classmates, some horror stories from some students around the country. I've had some great experiences,
sure.
Great stories. But that's your clinical education. If you have a couple of subpar clinical education experiences, what does that say about PT education as a whole? You know, are we doing sometimes our patients a disservice by graduating PT students who may not have had a residency and a fellowship? Mathematically, it's not enough right now for every PT student in the country to
right.
do either one.
Correct.
But how can we improve this? How can we make sure these students are, as you put, more ready?
This is a challenge. It's a big challenge for us. I was one of those students who felt like I had some really great experiences and some maybe not so great experiences. It is a challenge. I mean, I think just as a student, though, you have to take the good from every situation. My clinicals that I felt were maybe not as good as I would have liked them to be, it really forced me to seek answers to the questions by myself. So I spent a lot of time looking into the literature, questioning my professors, trying to really think for myself, how can I manage this on my own? So it kind of helped me become more of an autonomous practitioner, even though I probably wasn't ready for it at the time.
That's a good point, is that you need to look back on those and say, what did I get out of that? Was it enough? Yes? Okay, good, I'll move on. But if it wasn't, what else can I do as a student to get more out of that? Because if you don't, you're just going to go get a job, and you'll probably bring up that crazy B word that we talked about earlier, which is burnout. Because if you're just going through the motions, that burnout's going to happen.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned burnout, because I gave a talk on that in PT school.
Really?
I was a third year teaching the second years.
Now, why did you pick that topic? You're a third year student. Why would that ever come up?
Well, because I wanted to know what burnout was like, and I didn't want it to happen to me.
Yeah.
One thing that is consistent across pretty much any job, consistently though, in any healthcare field, nursing, physician, medicine, is to be autonomous, number one. Number two is to try to mix up the things that you do on a daily basis. So if you're feeling like you're getting stuck in a rut, or, oh, I have a patient coming in with knee OA again, I just saw another, every patient's different. Take every experience as a learning opportunity and try to mix up your day. Like, after getting into working with patients, I look for opportunities to teach. I look for opportunities to do research. So there's always ways that you can vary your day and mix it up.
Yeah. Yeah, PT is a pretty vast field. Being my second career, coming into it, I just thought, PT sounds great. I've met PTs. They're cool. They do good things. They're real excited. When they talk about what they like, they bop around. They get real high-pitched. But I couldn't have named three different types of physical therapy. And even after my first semester of PT school, I was like, oh my God, there's so many different directions you can go. So yeah, that's a good point. If you're getting burned out, you're close to it in one setting, you got to take that upon yourself to say, where else can I go? And then go there. All right, so every episode that we do is a pint. And before we're done with the pint, we do shots. Parting shots of wisdom. So we're going to go back to Margaret. If you were going to give PT students across the country a parting shot of wisdom, a clinical pearl, something to take with them as they either go into a clinical experience or, ooh, even as they're getting close to the big G word, graduating, what would you leave students with? What's one thought?
I would say it is a great privilege to be a physical therapist. And if we remind ourselves of that every day, we have a privilege to serve our patients. It reframes how we look at our work. And if we view it as that, as our community service, you won't get burned out. And you'll continue to be inspired by the patients and the stories they tell.
And you'll continue to bop around and jump up and down and be high-pitched when you talk about your patients, even in the middle of a bar. I like that. All right, Craig, same question. You can take it any direction you want. What would you say to students, since we're at National Student Conclave here in Miami? What would your parting shot of wisdom be?
I would say treat every patient like it's your last patient.
Ooh, so I like that, yeah.
Every patient is an opportunity. You're dealing with someone who needs you. Try to give whatever you can to them for that slotted time that you have. Give them your best.
I like that. I've heard before, we've said before on the show, that sometimes you're the best chance for that patient to get better because you're sitting in front of them for a long time. You got a lot of time with that patient, and sometimes you're their best shot at actually getting better. So that's great. Hey, I want to thank you guys both for rushing here from the airport, coming out to PT Pub Night here at American Social right from getting off the plane, and sharing some PT knowledge with us. Craig and Margaret, appreciate your time here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.